And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Isaiah and chapter 45. And perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bend head and heart again in your presence for you to do in for us, about us, all that is necessary for the outworking of all that you have in mind, even until you come. So we're looking to you to deal with our heads and hearts again, and take thy word, Spirit of God, and do what only you can do and help us. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our exercise of the first epistle of John, we're going back there, but to get there back again, we need to be reminded and refreshed of that God in his wonderful, wonderful plan that does everything right. He does nothing wrong. Everything that God does and outworks is going to come out, is right, comes out right. So therefore, we can count on that. We can count on it. Of all the things you question and wonder and doubt about, which you can do, all of them there. But you need to understand what God is doing is right and comes out right in the light of his righteousness. So, here we are in chapter 45. And if I may pick up just the flavor of it so you see it, chapter 45. Picking up, please, in verse 5. I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. That purpose they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. Verse 7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it, God. In your wonderful rightness, everything you do, like in Genesis and 18, his wonderful statement made, shall not the judge of all the earth do right, always right, never wrong. Now, so therefore, chapter 45, chapter 46. And in chapter 46, picking up, please, in verse 12. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. In other words, it's an encouragement for Israel to understand they need to look to God and his word and his saving grace. And why? Because they were far, far, end of verse 12, they were far from righteousness. Verse 13, I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off. And my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. So, God, how are you going to help Israel and us? You're going to have to do it rightly. Rightly. So, God, you're going to go to the cross. That's right. I'm going to bring my righteousness, said God, to Calvary's cross in the person of Jesus Christ. He's the right one for the right reasons. I bring him to the cross. All that I do is right. You can't be saved unless I do it right. You can't have anything unless it's right. So, therefore, over, as we shared in verse verse 13, chapter 12, 46, we shared, that God has to bring righteousness close so that we can be saved in a most wonderful way. Chapter 51. God's going to bring righteousness down, Isaiah 45, like the weather, like the rain, bring it down on top of us. He's going to bring it on top of us by way of his son being born in Bethlehem of Judea and going to Calvary's cross. So, and Isaiah 51, picking up, please, in verse 1. Hear, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence thou art hewn, and to the hole of the pit where you are digged. In other words, God saves us out of the, we're made of the dust of the ground. Dust we are, and dust we go back to. We're saved. God saves us in a most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way. So, and sliding down to verse 5. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me. And on my arm shall they trust. God's wonderful saving grace. Now, lift up your eyes, verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. 4. Just think of what we started with in Isaiah 45. Yeah, clouds come down, righteousness. And verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Verse 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not, and for nor the reproach of men. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. Verse 8, for the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever. And my salvation from generation to generation. God's wonderful, wonderful working. God's going to do what he does. What he does is right, right. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, great. Remember, Isaiah 53 is about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. All 12 verses. So, but sliding over to verse 11, chapter 53, verse 11. God, here we are looking at your Son on Calvary's cross. He shall see of the travail of his soul, like we did the other day, travail, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. God's awesome, wonderful person is going to do rightly. That's the way it is. God the Son is going to come by way of God the Father to go to Calvary's cross and be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Back over, if you would, to 1 John. And in chapter 2. And in 1 John chapter 2, keeping in mind now, if you would, keeping in mind, our Lord, the whole issue, remember, the Antichrist and all of it, is that God, you know all these things, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Christ was determined, God the Son, God the Father, and God the Holy Ghost, determined that Christ, in God's wonderful, glorious plan, Christ would go and be born of a baby, not no angels or anything yet. That's the plan. And so, when Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, in Christ, died on the cross, was born to die on the cross. God in Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God is never separated. He does his thing in his essence, his nature, his being, his oneness, but he's one God. But in the God the Son goes to the cross. And in God the Son, when Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, not only was God the Son, but God the Son and God the Father are related in a most wonderful way. So what do we know about God, the Lord Jesus Christ? John chapter 1, verse, you know, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what? He brought to show his wonderful, God is going to show and bring his invisible ever-presence everywhere all at once. He's going to bring that invisible presence to become visible in the person of Jesus Christ. And thus, so all the big talk, Jesus did something for God, God used him for a little bit and left. No, no, no. God, the Father, and God the Son shows God the Father. John 14, you know. If you have seen me, Philip, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. No question. God did the right thing, is doing the right thing in the right way. So the Lord Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. That's the big debate in the world system with the Antichrist, that God could not be in a human being. If God didn't do what he did, when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what do you know when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? The Lord Jesus Christ becomes what? Part of your life. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Of a truth, God is in the believing heart. As of a truth, and rightly, he was in the Lord Jesus Christ, the last Adam, to be able to die for our sin, so that as he paid the price, that God could now dwell and find his home in the human heart. That's what God could do in a most wonderful way. And that's the big push. So when you read, as we read through all these things in John chapter 2, going down to verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Verse 24. He that therefore abideth in you shall be in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If, and it may or may not be, that which you've heard from the beginning. In other words, if you truly, truly got saved by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you really did that, then from the beginning, that's how you got saved. And keep going, the verse 24, and from the beginning shall remain in you, and ye shall also continue, abide, remember abide three times, abide, continue, in the Son and in the Father. You can't have the Son without the Father, period. And that's the thing. Why? The Son is to bring forth, to bring us to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So to come, God. So the big argument then. So here's the believer getting battered by the system out there, like we think of what we did in Sunday school and works and that, and our works and their works and that Judaism and legalism and works and all the system is out there doing what it's doing back then. And so you have to say, well, am I saved? But you have to do something else to get saved. No, but that's what they said. Circumcision, et cetera, et cetera. You get saved. Well, am I saved? So the battered, they're being battered. You read it in verse 19 and 20. The believers tried to keep on believing in verse 19. But the other people left. They didn't want to know. They didn't want to, they weren't going to go. Just Jesus only? Jesus is God. Yes. But we believe Jesus plus a whole lot of things. And that it isn't a whole lot of things. It's our Lord Jesus Christ only. Therefore, so when you're reading, as you slide down, that's the big problem in First John, the works and legalism and works and the bad guys giving all kinds of stuff to keep us from enjoying simple English. Read the simple English. Read what it says. God says what he means and means what he says. Then just listen. Pay attention. When you read the directions in your special something you bought, they usually give you directions. Sometimes they give you directions that are in very fine print. But apart from that, or pictures that you can't quite see, and you try to read the pictures, what they do, tell you to do, and you do it. Why do they do that? So that you know how to use the thing. When you do a thing for work, you do the thing. So the big machine going out, and the machine going out, and you have the big manual you wrote. You wrote the manual. This is what to do to make the thing work and test it. This is what you do. And then they have a question. Did you read the manual? Did you read page 10, you see? Did you read the manual? Page 10. Read it. Read it. Wow. Now, we've got to do. God said, pay attention. So when we come now to verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have a confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So, you're going to abide. And remember, we looked at it, all of that, up in verse 29, 24, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Simple, wonderful relationship. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you enter in to that unique oneness to God. Oneness in God where? In Christ. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. God looks at you and sees his Son. And when he sees his Son, he finds you in his Son. He finds his Son in you. Oneness. Wonderful oneness. So God, we pray and look, we're new creatures. That's right. And you need to abide. And if you're abiding, Christ in our heart, what do you say? What are we in Revelation 22 and 20 and all that? But when you come to the end of the book, you know, God says, I'm not going to say any more. I'm all done till I come. And when he says, surely I am coming quickly, present tense, I am coming. So here we are saved, and the Christ in you is waiting to go take you home. How's he going to take you home? Maybe he's not going to. Yes, if you're abiding in Christ, you have to know that you're waiting for his appearance. Why are you waiting for his appearance? Because Christ in me is going to go. I have to go. I have to go. I don't feel it. I don't, you know, Jeanette gives me a sandwich or something, and I feel it. No, I don't. You don't feel it. It's a fact. I got saved, received the Lord as my Savior, and God said, what are you going to do? I'm going to go, and I'm waiting to go home. Well, here he is. It's reset. He's waiting to go. And you have to understand, loving is appearing. That's the great stabilizing, unifying, making for oneness, to the extent that the believers are looking to go home, to for God to take them, waiting for his soon coming, looking for that blessed hope. That to that extent, we enjoy a oneness. Get rid of that, and then we're all over the place. What makes us one? The same Christ, the same Lord, the same life, the same love. He's going to take, if he will go, that's why when the rapture, everyone has to go. Christ is in his body, each believer, and when Christ goes, he takes everything that he bought with a price, that's you, and he takes you home. Now, having said that, verse 29, and if you know, that word know means you know that you are in your clothes right now, right? Most of you all know. These are your clothes and you're in them. You don't have to go to school to learn it. You don't have to go to anywhere. You just done know it, right? We're in the clothes. We don't even have to be 110 years old to know it. Nope, I just know. That's the word. No, absolutely, clear, done, no. All right, verse 28, 29. If you know that he is righteous, that's what we just did. Again, we did it last time, a couple of times ago. What do you know? He's righteous. He's the right one. Because remember now, who's the right one? Where's the right way to do it? He is the right God in his righteousness, brought rightness, did everything's right to save us rightly, to do it right all the way to the end, so that we're rightly saved. Not based on your feeling, your fears, and your anything else. So, we know he's righteous. That's all. I don't question that. Good. If you know, you know. Otherwise, you don't know, and you aren't sure. If the right one saved you in the right way, you know it. But if you think he didn't do it in the right way, and you think there's something else, that's something else. But if you know this, then, verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know, that's a different word. First grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. You learn the alphabet. You learn step by step by step. That's the word know. You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So what's that going to do? Well, I know that he's righteous, and everyone that is born again, begotten of God in a most wonderful way. Everyone has this, what? This wonderful assurance, the rightness out from him. He's the source of the rightness that makes us born again. That's right. He did the right thing in the right way. He saved me. I didn't do it. I'd do everything wrong. He did it rightly. So the outworking of that wonderful, wonderful relationship has to take place. And therefore, so that everyone doing righteousness, and then we tried to share together to remind ourselves. Now, who's going to walk up and down the street and try to think of you the rest of your day, and everything you do is right. You think right, you walk right, you eat right, you do everything right. Everything you do, God says that is righteous. Now, so I'm not sure if I could find a person like that. No offense to you guys. No one can do that. So if you read that and you don't think about it, how are you going to be doing right? I want you to go out here rightly, sit in your car rightly, do everything right. You can't do it. We don't do it. We goof before we even get out of the seat. So what do we need? Well, God, how are we going to do right this? Now, what do you say? So that's what people think. That's what I think at first. How am I going to do rightly? I don't do right every minute. I'm wrong. I'm not going to make it. So I forget that. No. God, you told me to walk by faith. So therefore God, everyone is doing what they do in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Everyone that's born of God is going to be begotten because they're doing right. Well, okay, how do we do right? That's the question. And how wonderfully, wonderfully God has made it for us. Just like we did in the works in Sunday school and that. God has set you what? You're saved by grace 1,000,000%. Not one word, one thought, one effort in any way, shape, or form saves you. All of it is works. All of it is of the flesh. And God saves you in his grace 1,000,000%. And in saving you 1,000,000%, God, what are we doing? So therefore we enjoy a rightness. A rightness. Why? We're in the right person for the right reasons, and we're abiding like the branch in the tree. We're abiding, and the rightness is where in the tree the branch enjoys the rightness. The believer abiding in Christ enjoys the righteousness of Christ. Do you believe he's the right one? Then he's the right person in the right place in your heart, doing the right thing in the right way to come out right. It's going to come out right. It has to come out right. So how am I going to walk? I'm going to walk in Christ. So put it, do it. Over Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, if I may, chapter 9. Deuteronomy in chapter 9, and picking up the movement. Chapter 9, going if I can to verse 4. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee. In other words, we beat the enemy and the Israelites won. Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. It isn't your righteousness. God is going to do for Israel a wonderful, wonderful victory. We're getting back to that pretty quick. Wonderful, wonderful victory. He's going to do that. And he's going to do it all by his lonesome. He does what he does and enables Israel to do what they do, not because they're right, because of his rightness in what he does. It's not their rightness, it's his. They have no rightness. You and I have no rightness. We don't have any. Israel had to discover, which they didn't do very good, that God was their righteousness, not anything they did. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, you remember Abraham believed God, Genesis 15 and 6. Abraham believed God and he counted it for righteousness. God did. Abraham just believed God, and God said, good, that's right. You did the right thing in believing who I am, and therefore, I'm going to count that as right. So I'll put that to your little credit card. You're right. I put righteousness on it. Abraham is the righteous one. That's right. But he didn't do it. No, it is not his righteousness. It's God's righteousness. Abraham believed God, and God gave him his righteousness. Romans chapter 4 again, quickly. Not too quickly. Quickly. In Romans chapter 4, picking up, if I may. And you will note, chapter 4, And Abraham, remember how he got it? How did we get it? Chapter 4, going, if I may, sliding down to verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him, computed to him, for righteousness. Now, to him that worketh is the law, is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if you're going to do something, say something, you earn something, you don't earn anything, you don't merit anything, you're going to do that. If you do that, it's works. It's works. That's what it is. You're debt. You're saying, God, you owe me. You owe me something. You owe me some, right? You owe me what you do. God says, I don't owe anybody. I died on the cross to save you because you couldn't pay the bill. So, verse 5. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Pretty clear? That's how you get, right. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Over to chapter 14. And chapter 14 in Romans, and you'll pick up the thought, adding to that. And chapter 14, where are you? Chapter 14, and in verse 17, if I can, verse 17, picking up, for the kingdom of God is not meat, what you eat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a life. It's a relationship. It isn't what you eat. I ate the right food. I drank the right drink. And you need to do that in some cases. You need to do that. But that isn't what saves you. No. It isn't about eating and drinking. It isn't about going to bed and getting up. It isn't about that. It's about a relationship that you have as a new creature in Christ, in God in Christ, in you. And what are you doing? You're letting that relationship vine to the branch, abiding, abiding, abiding. You're just abiding so that it outworks itself. The branch doesn't sit there and sweat whether it's going to get the sap, the life coming up from the tree, the water and everything. It's going to come, just comes, just comes. You can't, if you hold, the glass under the faucet, and I leave it under the faucet, what do you know that's happening? The glass is staying full, 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 full. As long as it's under the faucet, does it ever lack water? As long as the branch is tied to the tree, does it ever have a problem with leaves? Fruit? No, it can't. All it's doing is staying in the right place in the right way for the right reasons, and it makes it happen. It isn't a big, tricky thing. It's just your relationship to Almighty God who created us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, so the kingdom of God is in its marvelous, marvelous way. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, and God makes us new creatures in Christ, and you know, and but to see that. Abraham, did you know you were righteous? Yeah. David, did you know you were righteous? Now, because people say, how can you say, like 1 John, if we know him and we walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, John 1:7. But as we abide and rest in God's wonderful person, what are we going to do? We're just going to enjoy the life that's just going to keep coming. And that's what God's going to do. It's the right one. It's the right way. It's the right relationship. And therefore, everyone, all of you who know, who are knowing, growing, knowing, learning, understanding that you're righteous. And therefore, I know that everyone out there, just like maybe you can be like 1 John. Here's the Apostle John. John looks out and says, listen, I know I believe in the right one and the right way. I know that. And God has brought me his righteousness in an awesome way. I'm righteous. And so is everybody else. So he's writing 1 John to tell you, everyone else that believes enjoys the rightness. So therefore you have assurance. Wonderful assurance. Why do you have it? Well, all the other people have the same righteousness than I do. That's right, because God, that's what saves us in God's wonderful way. Psalm number 4. If I can, in God's wonderful grace, I'm looking in the wrong place. Chapter 4, verse 1. David, hear me when I call, O God of, the little pronoun, my. God doesn't say God's salvation, God's righteousness. It says, David says, my righteousness. My righteousness, God. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. How hast thou enlarged me when I was in distress? Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. So God, the believers, you read it in the Old Testament, and they say, do God, because I'm the right thing. I'm looking to you rightly. You have to read all those things and say, well, how do you know that you're that right? They were trusting the same thing we're supposed to do. God is a right one. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. As long as you believe in God and rest in God, as long as you're abiding in fellowship, in a relationship, practice it, believing it, exercising it, then you're enjoying the relationship. That's what you're doing. So, chapter 11. In Psalm 11. And you will note, great psalm. In the Lord, said David, I put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? In other words, they're telling David, you better run. They're going to get you, Saul, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You better run, better run. And David says, why should I run? I'm trusting in God. Where am I going to run to? I don't need to run from God. And you're telling me to run away from the fear. I don't have a problem with it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of deep darkness, I fear no evil. No, I don't. I don't have a problem. No. So therefore, verse 2. For lo, the wicked bend their bow, and they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright of heart. In heart, that's right. Who's upright? God looks at the believers that are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've done the right thing in the right way, so therefore they're saved. Verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But they aren't destroyed. Is he the right one? Yes. Is there a problem of it becoming wrong? Is there something can happen that make it all come out wrong? No. Can your sin or my sin or the sin of the world? No. Christ died for the sin of the world. He already condemned it. It's finished. So therefore, in verse 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that looketh violent, loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. The right one sees you. God sees you and me in the right way. Now, right now, if you're saved, God sees you in the right way saved. What are you saying, John? 1:29. Be encouraged, no matter what's being said, what happens, what you're feeling, what you're facing. Is God, do you believe he's the right one? I do. And God says, you believe I'm the right one? 1 Corinthians 1:30, I am your righteousness. I am your righteousness, sanctification, wisdom, and everything else. I am your righteousness. So God, what are we doing? We're looking to you and believe. And therefore, if I know he's righteous, I have to understand that when I believe he's righteous, he's the right one. I rightly get saved. And when I rightly get saved, I enjoy the Savior who is right. And God sees me in his Son, the right one in the right way. And that's how he sees me. That's how he sees us. And it's going to be true when God puts his wonderful law into the hearts of the believers in the future. Now, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, if you can, go over with me, please, in the light of that. I guess over to, you better do that. Well, you don't need to do that. I was going to tell you to go to 2 Corinthians 5:21, but you know what? He became sin for us so that what? It says it. So wonderful. It's underlined it in your mind. So that you could be righteous. He became sin for us so that you would have his righteousness. Period. Where did I get it? It's a gift. God gives me the gift. When I see him and say, he makes me righteous. I have to go around and do every right thing. No, I don't do anything right. And there you know from 1 John when you did that in 1 John chapter 1. You know, if we say we're walking in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we're stupid and we deceive ourselves. And if others say it, you understand, you got a sin nature and you walk in it. God, but what? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's how we got righteous in the first place. We believed that God was the right one to go for the right reasons, to go to the right cross in the right way, to save us in a most wonderful way. And God, that's what you did in a most awesome, awesome way. So, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, over to Philippians. Philippians. And God, I'll work this righteousness in a most wonderful way. And you know, as a little person, when you were little and you grow, and you grow up, and what are you going to do? Well, you'll learn how to do and think, and hopefully you'll learn some standards, some morals, some mores. You'll learn how to do some things. You'll learn how to do them rightly, politely. You're trying to do that. And if you're trying to do that, you look at the children, and the children are trying to do the right thing as they grow. And they still, as they're adults, they're still trying to do the right thing in the right way. That's a pleasure. To the parent, the kids trying to do the right thing. We grow in it. We didn't get it all at once. We had a whole lot of mistakes, thousands and thousands and thousands of mistakes. But we were trying to do the right thing. And the parent looked at us and saw that we were trying to do the right thing because we were learning. We were learning. So when you get saved, God takes you in a most wonderful way and gets you saved. Just like a child, when you're a little boy, girl, you have to grow. You have to grow. You make a lot of mistakes. By the time you reach 120, you're doing pretty good. You know. And in the process, and the reason you're doing pretty good because you're just breathing. You know, you don't know anything anymore. So you can't goof. Anyway, God does what? He sees you rightly. He sees you rightly here, and then you grow a little more. You got a whole lot of problems. But you're walking in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing you all the way. And you keep going like this, and as you keep going and growing and you're learning, that's right. And you're walking in the light, and you're doing better, and you know that. And the parents, oh, you're doing the right thing. Good. Keep at it. So keep at it. That's what you do. So what are we doing, God? We're looking to you, God, abiding in the branch, abiding in the tree, branch in the vine. And we're letting what? We're letting you outwork your life, inch by inch by inch by inch by inch. That's what we do. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us all the way. And so we're able to go. I'm not thinking, I don't have to think now, am I going to do the right thing when I walk down the stairs out there? I don't know. That isn't the problem. I already have the rightness, whether I do or I don't. And in all the wrongness in my little brain right now, and it's there. I wouldn't kid myself. It's all there. But as I walk in the light and trust God, God's saving grace. So God, what are you doing? I'm bringing you and giving you my righteousness. I gave him my righteousness. In closing, over to Romans 10. And Romans chapter 10, picking up if I may. And you'll catch it, chapter 10, book of Romans. May I go in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's a good. Verse 2, 4, I bear them record that they have a zeal for God. They're busy about God, but not according to knowledge. It's the Judaism, the system of works, etc., etc. Verse 3, 4, they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Verse 4. But for the reason they're missing out. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. When I receive Christ, is he the right one? Yes. Right one for the right reasons. Everything going to come out right. It has to. Doesn't matter what we feel, think, what the system thinks, doesn't make any difference. Over to chapter 10 and verse 9. And in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For, reason, with the heart man believeth unto in the direction of what? Righteousness. That's how you get saved. He was the right one, the right reasons, and you believed that he would save you in the right way, and you gave him credit. You gave him credit. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God's wonderful saving grace in a saving way. God did that. Righteousness. So I'm not going around trying to do right. I could never do it. But I certainly can go around trusting God, thanking God, and just being a little old human being, trying to make sure I get my Cheerios and everything, and just go down again. And God saves us in a most wonderful way, and we're saved. And not based on the system, religion, works, or anything else. He's just the right one. He saved you in the right way. And therefore, 1 John, be encouraged. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. You're saved. If you say, well, I don't say, I don't feel it. Forget it. Just be saved. See? Just be you. Don't try to be somebody else. Just be you. That is male or female, if that helps you. In case someone's in question. Just be you, please. That's all. Not religious. Religion's down the tubes. I don't want religious. I never did. As a Methodist, a little baby, I didn't want righteousness. I didn't want to be religious. No, I wanted to know the one who we went to church. I want to know the one we're supposed to know up there. That's all I want to know. I want to know you. That's all I want. That's what God did. So go on. What are we going to do? We're going to trust your wonderful person that saves us and saves us and saves us all the way forever. That's what he does. Thank you. The rest of the world can do whatever. Family, friends, enemies, your body, your health, everything can all be what it is. But when all of it's done, all of it is going to disappear except you. You are made for God forever. And therefore, you're going to enjoy him. The rightness of God now and the rightness of God there. I got it. Father and God, thank you. Thank you very much for your word, for your work, for your grace. God, so that we don't try to drive ourselves crazy trying to do everything so-so and everything. It doesn't mean we shouldn't do best. God, you know that. But we just do it better. We aren't trusting what we do is the best. God, we're trusting you to be the best. And our Father will thank you very, very much. And for those who know you're not, God, deal with their hearts. We think of the sick and each one. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.